Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A Voice of St. Louis original podcast.
Today is Friday, November 22nd. I'm Michael Calhoun. Our top local story.
KMOX is covering breaking news.
We've got some movement on the Railway Exchange building, the former Famous Bar downtown. KMOX's Sean Malone joins us live with the latest.
Yeah, Michael. So a judge has signed an order condemning the Railway Exchange building and forcing its sale to the Land Clearance Redevelopment Authority and the St. Louis Development Corporation. Here's what happens over the next couple of weeks. There's going to be three commissioners assigned to overseeing the sale price for the Railway Exchange. SLDC will present their appraisal of the building and say, hey, we appraised it for around $6 million. Maybe the Millennium Hotel, or excuse me, the Railway Exchange owners will finally make an appearance and present their sale price for it. And then the three commissioners will decide on what that price will be that the city will acquire the building for. And Michael, this could all be wrapped up as early as by the end of the year, the SLDC CEO Neil Richardson tells me.
KMOX's Sean Malone with the late breaking news first on KMOX. Thank you, Sean.
You got it.
Protesters demanding the city take action on the conditions of the jail interrupted the Board of Aldermen at City Hall. Brett Narayan, chair of the Public Safety Committee, says they haven't held any hearings on the recent deaths at the jail because they're still waiting for the medical examiner's report. One of the protest organizers, Mike Milton, isn't satisfied.
I think that was honestly. Like, they should be talking about the jail. They can go visit the jail. They can go tour the jail. They can have conversations with people inside of the jail.
In response, Director of Public Safety Charles Coyle pointed to a number of changes made at the jail, there being only two deaths this year. He was asked about the auditor's finding many of the issues stem from lack of staffing. Director Coyle confesses he has not read the report.
You haven't seen the auditor's report on CJC?
I've seen an auditor's report, but I haven't read that report. So I haven't read it.
He's seen it, but he hasn't read it. The auditor's report was released in August. New information on the E. coli outbreak that's made over 100 people sick who ate food catered by Andre's Banquet and Catering.
Missouri's Health and Senior Services released test results that were negative for bacteria from the salad provided by Andre's. But St. Louis County Health says this does not change the course of the investigation. Owner of Andre's, John Armengol Jr., released a statement saying state health officials told him testing done on samples was negative for E. coli. Armengol says he will continue to cooperate with the state and local health departments as they now work to determine the source of E. coli that has caused illnesses in the region and which has resulted in individuals who did not attend any events affiliated with Andre's contracting E. coli. County Health says epidemiological evidence strongly supports a focus on the salad, not a sample of the lettuce. Maria Aquino, KMOX News.
Fairview Heights police are searching for a mom and her missing little daughter, Shaquila Nelson and Sage Emery, last seen yesterday evening in Fairview Heights on Potomac Drive, loading luggage into a black Escalade. A description of them is at KMOX.com. If you have information, call Fairview Heights Police.
a KMOX follow-up.
The latest on the murder of Michelle Hampton, the local woman abducted and killed earlier this week. Police say they have recovered Michelle Hampton's car and a second vehicle of interest in her murder. Hampton was abducted Wednesday morning outside of her home in Clayton by masked gunmen and forced to drive to St. Louis City, where her body was found in an alley on Greer Avenue. The investigation is ongoing. Anybody with information should contact Crime Stoppers. Progress with Ferguson Police outlined at a town hall meeting.
Ferguson Police Chief Troy Doyle calls the progress truly encouraging, pointing out two meetings in a row where the monitoring team and the Department of Justice recognized the progress made under the consent decree and recognized the hard work it took to get there. Doyle says the monitoring team praised several cases where they say officers displayed tremendous restraint even when confronted with physical aggression. He says work in areas like stops, searches, and arrests are still being refined, but they are making steady progress. The addition of a public information officer and training coordinator has also helped the department meet milestones and stay on track. Debbie Monterey, KMOX News.
Education news that matters to you.
A group of Illinois educators want to expand career prep with dual enrollment programs and partnerships in fields like healthcare, technology, and manufacturing. Executive Director of the Illinois Association of School Boards, Kimberly Small, says Vision 2030 focuses heavily on future-focused learning.
We're all about reshaping our schools and classrooms and redefining student success to reflect and prepare students for all the different ways that the world and the economy have changed.
Small says they are committed to getting students to think about their own pathways to college and careers as early as elementary school. She adds Vision 2030 wants to make it easier to hire and keep great teachers by offering flexible licenses and better support. Well, if you're getting out tonight, here's KMOX meteorologist Dave Murray with a word on the weather.
Michael, it's going to be rather chilly for any evening plans around town, and we've got the Thanksgiving outlook for you coming up in my forecast in a couple of minutes.
The KMOX Business Desk, the Pierre Laclede Center, a pair of towers on Forsyth in Clayton, are now officially properties of the Hoffman family of companies. The firm announced the sale was completed today. Hoffman is known lately for purchasing large parts of Augusta, Missouri, with the intention of creating a wine country and for taking a large stake in the owner of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. It's set to be a busy week for holiday travelers. Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth says she's met with air traffic controllers in her state to hear their concerns about training and staffing. Duckworth co-sponsored legislation to close staffing gaps and deploy more anti-collision technology. Duckworth points to a government report which finds air traffic control equipment is outdated. Well, as we continue on KMOX, there is news about new companies headed to St. Louis and tech companies that have decided to stay here as opposed to moving elsewhere. It is the latest cohort announced by Arch Grants. And so let's get the details from the executive director of Arch Grants, Gabe Angieri. Thank you so much, as always, for being with us, Gabe.
Thanks, Michael. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
So remind us, for those who are just getting into it, what is Arch Grants, the non-equity grants that you give out, non-dilutive, and you do this every year, and for how long have you done it?
Yeah, so we've been providing around 20 companies each year, non-dilutive funding since 2012. Initially, we started off with $50,000 grants, and we awarded upwards of 200 companies to 2021 with $50,000 grants. In 2021, we increased the grant awards to $75,000 and introduced a $25,000 relocation grant. So as of last night, we announced our 272nd award to startups that have committed to headquartering in St. Louis for at least 1 year. And the amount of total funding we've provided is just over $18.7 million at this point.
And of course, people can see the impact of this. They just have to go to a T-Rex, for instance, in downtown St. Louis, and also look at all of the many companies that have graduated from those kinds of spaces and programs and now have their own offices around the region. And it's really interesting how you're really seeming to zero in on these industry clusters that St. Louis is known for, is a hub for. We hear about agriculture technology. There's a whole Plant Science Innovation District and Creve Coeur dedicated to that. Geospatial, we hear about, some others as well. Tell us about the companies and the kind of firms that you're bringing in.
Sure. So we are increasingly aligning with other partner organizations in St. Louis, the investments that are flowing into this region in, as you mentioned, agri-food tech, geospatial, advanced manufacturing. I think we're seeing growing interest in fintech. And we see the opportunity from Arch Grants to be the cherry on top, to be a additive element to these areas where startups should be. I mean, anyway, St. Louis has a national, international reputation as a center of agri-food tech innovation because of the large players, Monsanto and Bayer, and Bunge, headquartered just west of the city. And we've partnered with 39 North, Geos Futures, increasingly the AMEC project in North City. And we're looking to add value and add startups to what they're working on. So, it's a really exciting time. And I should mention, as a nonprofit, our focus is economic development. So we raise our funding from the St. Louis community, and we want to make sure that every dollar we put into these companies pays dividends to the St. Louis region in the way of jobs, revenue, and innovation.
Now, we'll get into the details of each of these companies, talk with some of them over the coming days and weeks. But, give us an idea of some of the things that these startups are doing.
Sure. So we have a number of companies, very exciting this year. So we just announced 20 companies receiving $1.675 million in non-dilutive funding over the next year. A few of the companies that came in from outside of St. Louis that might be of interest to folks, a company called Preserve coming in from Boston is doing digital mapping of infrastructure, thinking utility lines, cables, pre-existing buildings that may have been forgotten in blueprints, using geospatial technologies and proprietary software to analyze municipal records and blueprints from wherever buildings are going up. So think about the importance of clearing a site for a developer or repaving roads, et cetera. This company can plug right in and make those efforts more efficient. Another exciting company from outside of St. Louis, Racnita, is moving here from Lagos, Nigeria. And it's a particularly exciting company exploring this art tech arena. So it is not necessarily a intuitive move to go into art tech, but given the notoriety and incredible exposure that organizations like Kranzberg Arts Foundation and now Counterpublic have stoked in St. Louis. A company like Racnita, we're looking to partner with those organizations and think about it as a Spotify for emerging artists with a focus on underrepresented artists. So driving revenue and exposure for folks that may not be as easily able to tap into new markets. A local company that we funded this year, I'd point towards Bold Spoon Creamery, really exciting consumer packaged good company. Rachel Burns is the founder. She's been in the space for some time, and they're doing some novel and farm-to-table ice cream and creating a hub in St. Louis as part of the Arch Grant. One more quickly mentioned is called Illuminate, moving from Springfield. The founder, Alyssa Huffman, is developing this medical screw that is porous and has a pattern that mimics bones so that bones can grow into it and deploy medications through this screw in a really interesting, novel way. So it runs the gamut. We're industry agnostic. We've been that way since our founding. And as you mentioned earlier, we're seeing our companies really expand outside of the traditional startup hotbeds like T-Rex and Spark Coworking and Cortex and grow into their own facilities, as we've seen over the past couple of years.
Well, those firms, as you just heard, coming from as close as Springfield, Missouri and Champaign, Illinois, and as far away as Rochester, New York to Nigeria. And so much more to talk about this, and we'll get into it over the coming weeks. Gabe Angieri, the Executive Director of Arch Grants, thank you so much for getting us going with this, Gabe. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the great work you're doing and always happy to come on.